But I asked a question this morning. Will Jesus return? Is he coming back? Well, let's see what the scriptures say. Verse 1, chapter 1, Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel from his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, for the last several weeks, we've been traveling with Jesus as he made his way up to Jerusalem. You remember, he set his face to go to Jerusalem for purpose. And we travel with him up to Jerusalem, where he had said he would meet with people who would persecute him, would ill-treat him, beat him, spit in his face, and then crucify him. And this all happened. It happened just as he said it would. It was announced by Jesus that this was going to happen to him. It was announced way back in the Old Testament, in the prophets and the Psalm, and in Jesus' day, he himself announced that this was going to happen. And then he zeroed in on it as he told his disciples and those who followed him the place where it was going to take place, Jerusalem, what was going to happen to him, the beating, the humiliation, and his crucifixion, told where it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and it did. And then he said he would be buried and that he would rise the third day, and he did. That all happened. And it was announced that it would happen, and it did. But now the question is, will what has been announced for the future happen? Will he come back? You see, he's gone. In the Sunday school lesson this morning, you studied about the ascension. Jesus being taken out, they going out there on the hill, and he and his disciples are gathered together. And as the writer of Acts said, which is Luke, he said they were gathered together, and he was taught, he gave the commission. And as he talked, Jesus was taken up into the air in the clouds. And then there stood two men that said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? That same Jesus that you see going up into heaven is going to come back in like manner." He's coming back, he said. And so it is a fact that he's coming back, but it's been so long, we say. There were people in Peter's day who were questioning. You know, the people in the first century, the people who wrote Peter, Paul, and Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, they believed that Jesus could come back in their day, in the first century. Because they wrote, Paul wrote, "We who are alive," we'll get that in a minute, and John writes about "we." And Paul writes about "we." You see, they believed that he could come back any time. And it had only been just a few years since he left. But here we are, more than 2,000 years from the first century. We are here, and it hasn't happened yet. Are we giving up? Is it going to happen? Well, you know, the scripture says that it is. Now, Jesus announced that it would. The Old Testament announced that he would come back. You go back and you read the book of Daniel. He'll tell you that there's coming a day when he would come back. And you get into the New Testament. You get into the words of Jesus himself. He's covered a lot of territory talking about him coming back. He gave long discourses on his return. And then you get into Peter and Paul and John. They write about his coming. And so it has been announced. Not a difference in this announcement and the announcement that was made concerning his death, burial, and resurrection is that we don't have the details as we had it there. We don't have, now Jesus talks about it. Paul writes about it. Peter writes about it. What the things going to happen. John writes about it. What they say is going to happen. And, you know, we have a difficult time of putting it all together. In fact, I don't think we can. There have been volumes upon volumes upon volumes upon volumes and volumes of material written about what's going to happen prior to, during, and after the coming of Jesus. And you will, as you read, you will notice what the writers will say. This is the view of some here. This is the view of this scholar. This is the view of this scholar. This is the view of that one. And so you'll find there's a lot of views about what is going to happen. And so we don't have the exact details as in this announcement as we did in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. We just have to let God work it out the way that God will work it out. He's going to work it out anyway, whether we got it all figured out or not. And those talk about the the premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial. And somebody said, well, there's a fourth one. There's a panmillennial. That means God's going to pan it out. You know, it's going to pan it. So he's going to work it out. But what we're talking about is the fact. Jesus announced it. And Peter and Paul believed it. John believed it. And they wrote about it. And they said it's going to happen. And so it is going to happen. We just don't know when. And we don't know all that's going to take place. Now, we have signs. We have, Jesus spoke about those signs, things we could look for. And Peter, Paul also writes about, John writes about the signs, things we can look for. And we can get in there, read and study those. And we can see a lot of what Jesus talked about, a lot of what Paul talked about, and the other writers. We can see what a lot of what they said is happening to this very day in which we live. And so his coming could be very, very near. But we don't know when. And we may wonder if it is going to happen. Has God backed out? Has Jesus backed out? Has he changed his mind? Is it still going to happen? Well, it hadn't happened yet. But you know, it could happen today. In fact, it could happen before we leave here today. It could happen before we get back home today. It could happen. That we don't know. Jesus said, if somebody tells you that Jesus has come, if somebody tells you that he's over yonder somewhere, if somebody tells you that Jesus is going to speak in a great convention hall tonight, or some superdome, some big football stadium, if somebody tells you that Jesus is going to speak in a place like that tonight, better be sure and tune in or go to hear him. Jesus said, don't you pay any attention to anything like that, because that's not the way I'm going to come. That's a false Christ. And of course, he'd be setting the stage, if that happens, setting the stage for the Antichrist. Now he says, I am not coming that way. How does he say he'll come? He says, I'll come like a thief in the night. Now, a thief is not going to call up and say, hey, I'm coming over to your house tonight about 10 o'clock, and I'm going to break in your house, and I'm going to steal your stuff. Thief don't do that. And Jesus said, I'm not going to announce to you my coming. I've already told you I'm coming. Just look for it. And he says, When I come, I'll come in the clouds. And John says here that when he comes, and every eye shall see him. Just be that quick. Jesus says, as a lightning comes from the east to the west, that quick, that's how quick I'm coming. And every eye will all of a sudden see me. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that. But he says, that's the way it's going to be. It's just that quick. And there won't be any question about it being him. You say, I just don't believe that the satellites and the TV companies, I don't believe that any of that be able to pick it up, have time to pick it up. Because they won't know when it's coming. But it will happen. In a moment, as Paul said, in a twinkling of an eye, he'll be here. And so the important thing, be ready. Be ready for his coming. And the way we get ready is believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. We've been going through with that over and over in the last several weeks. And that's the way to be ready. That's the way to get saved. That's the way to be his. That's the way to be ready for his coming. And so he's coming. And I believe he's going to come. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot these days. There are those who are saying, you know, the condition of our world today and all the evil that's going on, and it is increasing very rapidly. Jesus has got to come to put an end to this. If he doesn't come, it's going to get worse and worse. And we're going to wonder where he is. And we see today, we'll beg for his coming. You know, over there in John, the John chapter 20, or 22, at the end, the close of the, of not John, Revelation, at the close of that book, Jesus said, I'm coming. And John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. John, in his day, wanted to see Jesus coming back because they were so bad in his day. And it's bad in our day. The evil is increasing. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. And it's getting that way, folks. It's getting that way. As it was in the days of Noah, for the imagination of men's hearts were wicked continually. And so Jesus will have to come back to straighten it all out. And that will be a great day. Now, it'll be a great day for saints, children of God. But now for those who are not ready, it's not going to be a great day. That's sad, but true. You go again to the end of Revelation chapter 20. You see a sight there you don't want to see. But there the great white throne judgment set up, and the dead from the death and the hell were given up, the bodies came up, and there's a sad note there. That the heavens and the earth were removed, and those who were there had no place to go. There was no place for them. They were just suspended there before the throne of God, and they were judged. And the books and the books were there, and Jesus, John writes that they were cast into the lake of fire. You know, where else for them to go? They didn't have a heaven to go to, didn't have an earth to go to. But now for us saints. Now, we got something to look forward to. We got something to look forward to. And Paul tells us about it in his letter to the church of Thessalonica. For the saints of God, this is a passage that we often use at the graveside, a funeral. A glorious passage that tells about the coming of Jesus to get his saints you and I who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he says, Paul says, that when Jesus comes with the sound of the trumpet, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those saints who've gone on, and if we die before he comes, it'll be us. And he's going to call every saint that's ever died from the grave. And every saint will hear that call. No one but saints will hear it. No one but children of God will hear it. But we will hear it. And we'll come. That makes no difference where one is buried. There's saints buried at sea. There's saints buried in mausoleums, saints buried in the ground, and there have been saints who have been cremated. But it makes no difference. You see, we wonder about that, don't we? But God will give us a body that pleases him. He can put it together. Some few years ago, we had a graveside service up in the Lancaster City Cemetery. And the cemetery people were there, and our grave digger. And I remained there for the covering of the grave. And these fellas got to talking about burial and cremation, burial versus cremation. And our grave digger said, I don't want nothing to do with that cremation. I don't want to be scattered nowhere. He said, when that great waking up morning comes, I don't want him to have to go looking here and there for me. I want him to find me all intact. I don't want to have to search for me. But if that were the case, the Lord can take care of that. You know, a sad thing. This German jet, you know, that co-pilot deliberately flew into the side of that mountain. The last report I heard that they were out there searching through the rubble of the plane and the bodies. And I forget how many was killed. But they said there was not one body that was intact. Not one. Can you imagine the problem they would have trying to find out which part goes to which? Well, you know, Jesus is not going to have that kind of problem. He's going to be able to put it together. And Paul says it'll be one that will please him. It'll be a body that will please him. And we will hear it. And if we've died, we're already up there with him. Our spirit's already there. And Paul says he's going to bring those with him. And then the bodies will come and be united with the soul. And don't that be a glorious day? And then, we who are alive, he says, will be caught up together, be chained, Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, that in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. I'm glad I don't have to work that out. I'm glad God is in charge of that, and God is going to be able to do it, and he's going to be able to do it to his satisfaction, and that's good enough for me. But the truth is, he is coming back. All that has ever been said in the Bible about what he was going to do, about his coming the first time, about his death, burial, and resurrection, all that happened. Why don't we believe that this is going to happen? It is. It is. And he'll come at his own time, in his own way. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe in him. I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe he died for me. I believe his blood has cleansed me. And I'm saved. And when he comes, I'm ready. Are you? You're not, you can be. I've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ who died for you. You be ready. You be ready for his coming. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that today. Encourage you to do it. He's speaking to you. He said, I love you. I died for you. I want to save you. And I want you to go to heaven with me forever. I want you to live with me forever. I want to have a relationship with you now. I want to come into your life now. I want to save you now. And if you're here, never been saved, you come to Jesus today. He'll save you. You may feel the need of rededicating your life to God today. If that be the case, we invite you to come. And do that today. Make your decision public as we sing our hymn. Rhonda, will you come as we sing? Number 307.
Just as I